Freak Radio Santa Cruz. 101 FM.
Target locked on.
Pirate radio at its finest.
There's an unlicensed broadcast station here, and we want to make sure that you stop operating.
There is?
Nothing you have heard before will prepare you for this. The sound of radio is being revolutionized by the masters.
Go!
Is anybody listening out there?
FCC, you know what that means?
Yeah, it means Federal Communications Commission. They can drive around and triangulate wherever the hell a radio signal is coming from.
Yeah, so fuck it, right?
Good idea!
Freak Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, or freakradio.org.
Good idea!
Hi, I'm Free of Freedom.
And I'm Coral Reef.
And we're the Tangerine Dream Team.
Tuesdays from 6 to 8 p.m. on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM.
When you get laid off, all the cops and their friends will move you to and fro. Downtown, it's just riot by musicians who can tolerate the city. Linger on the sidewalk and the police will say, no city, how can you win? The files, they're much higher there. They have forgotten you live here, forgotten they care. When you're downtown, there's lots of hate for you. Downtown, it's not so great for you. Downtown, tickets are waiting for you.
Hi, this is
La bestialidad imperialista. Bestialidad.
We're talking about the Sinister Singers. The citations for singing on the streets of Santa Cruz are going to be going to court this week, Thursday and Friday, Michelle and Becky, and we'll be playing some cuts from the arrest, and a lawyer, Ed Fry, will be calling in and giving us some comments.
Open up your eye while you're checking out the boombox. Check the exercise. Take the word overseas.
slaves up to today, but the black police officer let's see it that way. He wants a salary, he wants it, so it put on a budget, kill people pay. My grandfather had to deal with the cops. My great-grandfather dealt with the cops. My great-grandfather had to deal with the cops. And then my great-great-great-great, when it's gonna stop? Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police.
Whoop, whoop.
That's the sound of the beast.
Whoop, whoop.
That's the sound of the police.
Whoop, whoop.
That's the sound of the beast.
All right, first we'll play the options that the police officer offered when she first came up.
We're not trying to be cited right now, and so we're asking for your guidelines to so that we can behave, can play music within the law.
Okay.
So,
all I'm here to tell you is that there is a citizen making a complaint about the music that you're playing and is willing to sign a citation saying that the music is unreasonable noise to them. It would be my job to facilitate that citation being passed on to you.
Not unless you believe it.
I'm here giving you and just letting you know the information and requesting that you stop so I don't have to pass on that citation.
Stop or keep quieter music.
Make quieter music or move on.
Okay? Quieter than when you clocked up?
That's not up to me.
So there we have that we were... The group involved were offering to play quieter, but the officer ignored it. In fact, she would not tell them how quiet to play. So how can you follow the law if you don't even know what the law is? Here she is continuing to give no comment.
Did you find the noise unreasonable when you arrived?
It's not me making the complaint.
But I'm asking if you found the noise unreasonable when you arrived.
And I'm not answering you.
Why is that?
Because it's not up to me. I'm not the one making the cite, sir.
Could it be that because you didn't find the noise unreasonable and you don't want to lie about it?
Because I'm not the one making the cite.
Well, then you have no problem saying I'm not making the complaint, but I didn't find the noise unreasonable, do you? Did you find the noise unreasonable when you arrived?
It's not me making the complaint.
But I'm asking if you found the...
And then she decides to start issuing citations.
Warning.
We're getting
no warning. Who gave the warning?
I wasn't here when the warning was given.
Yeah, but we didn't play.
Well, have I played any since then? No.
Yeah, we weren't going to move to that point.
Yeah. You didn't say to move.
You didn't say to move.
No, you said to keep it quieter, and it's on tape, Officer Schoenfeld. So.
She did say to keep it quieter. And in her arrest report, the only probable cause she gives is given the group's antagonistic comments and constant interruptions of my explanations, I saw no behavior indicative that they were going to stop singing. Well, I guess other than the fact that they had already stopped singing and never sang again.
Still not
Hi, Ed.
Hi.
This is a call from our public person, Ed Fry. Welcome to the show, Ed.
Thank you.
Hi, Ed.
Hi, Free.
So, Ed, you'll be taking three of the cases or two of the cases for this noise violation?
Yeah, I'll be taking at least two, possibly three, if Robert Facer wants me to do it, but I know I'll be handling it for Becky and probably for Robert Norris. Becky Johnson and Robert Norris and possibly Robert Facer.
Mm-hmm.
So two or three.
Uh-huh. Okay, and Becky's trial is coming up this Friday at 10 a.m., I believe. Is that correct?
Yes, 10 a.m. in, let's see, I think it's in Department 1.
That's Simons, I guess.
Yeah, Judge Simons.
Okay, that should be interesting. I mean, I hope it's as good as that trial we watched the other day for Anna and Miguel. That was exciting.
Yeah, it was. It was good, and the judge was really careful to follow every word of the testimony, and he was real good on his legal rulings and his rulings on the objections, et cetera, et cetera. So it was great to watch.
Yeah, I did. I think that's one of the better judges we have in town, actually.
Yes, I do too. I think so too.
Yeah, it would be good to see him again. How do you feel about going in with Simons again?
Oh, well, I have mixed feelings about her. I used to be a great admirer of hers when she was with the DA because she was, I remember she was running for the office of DA at one point in time. That's how I got to know her because I was running also. And she seemed very bright and astute, and she had quite a successful record of convictions and all this. So I thought, well, that's what we need, is bright people on the bench. But when she got to the bench, I came to see that she's a little bit still stuck in the prosecutorial mode. So that's a problem.
Yeah, that's a problem with a lot of the judges in town. Aren't quite a few of them former DAs?
Yeah, way too many of them. And all of them seem to have, the one who didn't have a problem after being in the DA's office and becoming a judge was Art Danner himself, the longtime 20-year DA.
He had other problems, but not that one.
He had other problems. Well, but
what were those problems?
He was really fair-minded as a judge. And you wouldn't have known that he had been a prior prosecutor. But the others, most of the others, I have a problem now. Judge Attic was also a prosecutor, and he's not, he doesn't have a problem that way.
Now, he's my other favorite judge. In fact, he also has a very good sense of humor. He will crack some jokes in court.
he's very mercurial in the sense that he'll crack jokes sometimes, and he'll get extremely upset and angry, especially at lawyers, other times.
Oh, yeah, he'll be very gruff. But he does seem to read the papers ahead of time, whereas some of the judges don't actually read them ahead of time.
Yeah. And by the way, speaking of judges, if I may give a boost to a program coming up on TV, community TV, Voices from the Village, this coming Sunday at 7 p.m. on community TV, I think that's channel 27, going to have the judges forum so that the new judges who are, I mean, the new candidates who are running for judge, five of them are going to be appearing.
Oh, excellent.
There's two judge races, and I think all, you know, two in one race, three in the other, so all five of them will be there.
I think we asked you if you'd like to run for judge.
You know, I ran for judge in Mendocino County twice, and I had been pretty notorious because I was a very outspoken opponent of the drug war, so I didn't really have a chance to win back in the 70s, which is when I was up there. By now, you know, the people in Mendocino County have come around to be, along with Humboldt County, the most progressive in the whole state, in the whole nation, I think, counties in the about marijuana issues.
Well, yeah, because a lot of the former Santa Cruz people had to move up there when the rents went up, you know.
Right. That helped.
We're getting conservative and they're getting more liberal. So have you looked at the case much at all, the Singing Downtown one?
Have I looked at it much?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've read a police report, and I've looked at the statute and the ordinance, I should say. I'm a little bit vague because it's quite a while ago I looked at it, but it seems to me that the police are definitely in the wrong here. I mean, the singers, so-called singers, were only singing for a short period of time before the police arrived.
Mm-hmm.
And got lied to by the complaining witnesses or witness.
Yeah, they said it was 3 or 4 hours, and
whereas in fact it had been only about half hour, 45 minutes,
maybe an hour or something.
Maybe an hour, okay.
Almost an hour.
Yeah, you were there, right?
Yeah, possibly, but I might have to take the fifth on that.
Okay. And Coral, I think you were there for part of the time, too.
My keyboard was there.
I think they think someone else is playing it, though, because, I mean, Michelle wasn't even there during the music.
And Michelle is the first one to have to go on trial on Thursday of this week.
Yeah, she's going on her own, pro per.
And wants to be left alone, I mean,
so
doesn't want a big demonstration in the courthouse or anything made at all of her case. She just wants to go quietly away.
That's true. Yeah. So maybe we shouldn't say it's Thursday at 1:30.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't.
There are other innocent people as well that have to go, and
they're all
Robert,
innocent, essentially. Yeah. You know, it wasn't that loud. You know, I was a little disappointed it wasn't that loud. I mean, the traffic noise drowned it out.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the laws, I mean, they are set by the legislature, right? And shouldn't the judge look at the intention of the legislature when they interpret laws?
Yeah, absolutely, but even more important, the judges have to look at the First Amendment here.
Oh, yeah, oh, absolutely.
And, you know, so...
Well, I wanted to point out, because I have a little cut that Rodkin was talking about it. We interviewed him afterwards, and so I got about a minute here of his feeling on the case. Let me run that.
Okay.
This is free radio.
Not a reasonable interpretation of the law. Unreasonably disturbing means it's really loud. That's why I asked, is it amplified? If you come out there with a little handheld battery-run amplifier and you start broadcasting in front of somebody's business, that's an unusually disturbing noise. People with a guitar and a little electric piano and singing, no, it doesn't meet that definition.
Let me read you.
And you can quote me, and I agree with you. Not a reasonable interpretation.
Well, there you have it. According to Rodkin, they're innocent.
Good.
Quotable.
Use that at the trial.
There you go.
Yeah.
But you're going to need it in transcript form.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the electronic age is a little ahead of the courtrooms, or in reverse, I guess.
Yeah, you were talking about that earlier. They're so picky about the kind of evidence they'll allow in compared to, you know, what you can download from the internet these days.
Yeah, I think they do allow, I don't know which courts allow what. Who decides what? Is it up to the judge? Do you know
it? It's up to the judge, yeah, as a final matter. Who, what gets in and what gets excluded.
Is Robert Facer going to be your client, too? Did you mention him?
You know, I haven't checked with him on that, and he hasn't checked in with me on that. I assume that he will want me. I'm of course representing him in the camping ban case.
That's coming up next month.
That's two cases.
There isn't a hearing date set for that yet. It's an appeal, and I just filed the appellant's opening brief on March the 12th. So it'll be sometime in late April or May, early May, I suppose.
Mm, that'll be interesting. Now, that would be two cases you're defending on. He's like a walking crime wave here, isn't he?
Yeah,
he sleeps,
dangerous.
He sings. Next, you're going to tell me he breathes and eats.
Right.
And he doesn't even use machinery.
Yeah.
That's right, he's Amish. So he can't get on the bus to go to the armory.
Yeah. But to me, the most interesting point in his case is the fact that the judge herself, Commissioner Baskett is her name.
Yeah.
Admitted during Robert's trial that she dismisses all camping ban tickets for people if they will just go over to the homeless services center and get an affidavit from the director that there were no shelter beds available on the night in question. So my point on that situation is that, well, but the damage has already been done to the defendant. You wakened him up, you shake him awake in the middle of the night, then you threaten him to take him to jail unless he signs a promise to appear in court. Then you tell him to get the heck out of there. So his privacy and his repose has been violated, you know, violently by the cops already. Then he has to schlep over to the courthouse, find out how much his fine is, and then he possibly pays the fine to be rid of it, if he has the money. If he doesn't have the money, he's got to go to court. When he finally gets to court after all this hassle, then the judge, in all her graciousness, announces to him, just go get the statement, and then we'll dismiss it. So he schleps over to the services, the homeless services, gets the statement, he comes back to court for a second or a third time, and then the judge, in all her dignity and so on, dismisses the case. Well, that means there's been a tremendous injury imposed on
That's
the homeless
right.
person already. They have a right to be left alone when they're not guilty, and they're automatically not guilty if there's no shelter beds, which there were not. On the nights in question for Robert, he got two tickets, and both nights there were no shelters. So my point is that the damage was done, the constitutional injury occurred immediately when the cop woke him up.
That's true.
Yeah, and I'm gonna take this as high to as high a court as I can if we don't get satisfaction at this level, because this is gross. That means the cops, all that the Santa Cruz Police Department would have to do on any given night at 8:30, wasn't that the magic hour when the camping ban kicks in at 8:30 p.m.? The police department, all they would have to do, put in a simple call to the homeless services director or the shelter and ask, are there or are there not any shelters available? If they tell them no shelters available, that's the end of it. The cops should not be sent out.
That's right.
At the behest of the shopkeepers.
You know,
hassle these people.
That would be more efficient policing, too, wouldn't it?
It would save a hell of a lot of money.
Tax dollars. Because they're always saying that, well, I mean, we have the sleeping ban law because it's more efficient for the police to arrest the people before they actually commit the crime of littering or something else. You know? So
yeah,
we criminalize sleeping.
I'd like to know how much the homeless people have paid in fines for nights when there were no shelters. You know, that would be an interesting thing. I know the city of Santa Cruz, like most other local and state governments and federal government for that matter, are hurting for money. So they raise money any way they can. Now they're raising money on the backs of the homeless? Come on, this is getting
or
way
the cost
out of control.
Of collection, trying to collect it, maybe not getting all the fines, maybe the charge.
I think a lot of the homeless just throw the tickets away. I mean, it's
well, yeah, sure. I mean, they don't have money.
There's no money. Yeah, it's just a harassment. So basically, it serves no purpose. It doesn't deter the homeless. It just irritates them. You know,
not only irritates, it violates their constitutional rights.
Oh, yes.
To be left alone. You know, this is outrageous.
Well, just violated the rights of those people singing downtown too. I mean, that's free speech in a public. You know, that's like three attacks on the First Amendment: the right to assemble, to petition your government for redress of grievances, and freedom of speech.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what the hell the cops had in mind. They obviously don't get trained on as to the First Amendment. On the other hand, they did get a lot of misinformation. What's this?
I don't know. Somehow something got. I'm not over.
We just gave him a little equal time there. That was a protester at a Huff march, drowned out the singing. Another incident when the Huff were singing downtown, and a private citizen came in with a megaphone and amplified sound device and drowned them out.
A person who did not have a permit and just used a microphone, a megaphone,
electronic megaphone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Megaphone lady.
They were singing Christmas songs, you
and
know.
Didn't get cited. No,
no, of course not. Of course not.
Yeah. Right. We don't know why or who she worked for. So you could call 427-3772 if you have a pertinent question relating to free speech rights, first constitutional rights, First Amendment rights. This is the Free the Land Show, part of the Tangerine Dream Team. I'm Coral Reef. This is Freak Radio, and we have Ed Fry on the line. And Ed, can you... remember the last time you were doing a show here at Free Radio? Since you're going to be coming to the birthday celebration, maybe you can reminisce about old times a little bit.
What? Remind me about this birthday party. What is that?
Saturday.
It's going to be this Saturday at the Quumba, from 6 to 11. Wow. It's 15th birthday. The first 15th year that's been on the air illegally.
All right. That's great. Yeah, we had the studio down in my basement office, below my office at Cedar and Maple in, 95?
Yeah, I think it was 95.
94, 95, 96.
We do have a caller here. Yeah, right. Where we had to bow down to get into the studio.
Right.
Hello, Free Radio. We have a caller, potentially. Would you like to be in the air?
Tell me again what time that party is this Saturday.
That's it. The doors open at 6 downtown at the Quumba. Bands start at 7.
Okay.
Three or four kinds of music acts. There's a raffle. You can dress like a pirate, possibly win a prize. Win a
pirate booty.
Oh, that sounds like the pirate himself is on the other line.
Arr.
Caller, you want to identify yourself?
I'm Robert.
I'm going to check your ID.
Yeah, well, I don't have it on me, but...
Does it say Robert Norse?
Yeah, that's me. I was really enjoying the conversation. I wanted to sort of throw in a couple of things and thank Ed for stepping up to the plate, which is really pretty full, I understand, with Congress and, you know, your work with new health concerns.
Oh, that's right. You're running for Congress, Ed.
Yeah. That's right. That's what I'm going to run as an independent.
Well, we'll run your ads here for nothing.
Cool. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And then you're doing the Facer appeal for Robert Facer and the sleeping bands. You just, you know, you're running all over the place, so thank you. And I understand there may be something on coming up with Rico Thunder, Wes Moos. I saw something happening earlier today.
Wes and I will probably be working together on his case. He's been cited for organizing the last night parade, you know, on New Year's Eve that was held from
outrageous.
Organized at the Sub Rosa Cafe and then went down Pacific Avenue, and he got a ticket in the mail for it, which again is a violation of his First Amendment rights.
Yeah, I don't even know that he actually did any organizing that particular.
Well,
time.
Yeah, he said he didn't. So
it's bogus anyway. But it sounds like an attempt to intimidate, just like the tickets to the singers. And, you know, we were singing. I was one of those ticketed in front of the Bookshop Santa Cruz in the Free Speech Zone, as they called it. There are two zones on the avenue that have been designated. Special free speech zones where you can, I think you don't have to move every hour, or maybe it's actually not been clear why they're called free speech zones, but they are. And or perhaps you don't have. You can sit down next to the statue, the scripture mm-hmm. statue.
Do you have a question, Robert?
No, I've got a long. Actually, I really didn't call.
Unless
you have
breaking news or a question.
You can always cut me off. No, that's what I would do if I were.
But I'm not allowed to actually touch the equipment
oh,
here.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm not a full-fledged member of the collective.
Certainly not. We don't want your kind.
Not alone. I can be cross-examined because I'm not there.
I mean, there. I want to remind people there is a shitty, city council meeting happening tonight. And this is at 7 o'clock. People can go and talk about these issues at the public, mic before the city council, which doesn't mean anything since they don't really listen, but before the television audience and the citizenry, which might mean something because they hear it and some of them do listen. That's at 7 o'clock tonight. They let you talk for 2 or 3 minutes, depending on how generous Mayor Rotkin is feeling at the moment. And then that's a 20-minute period. Then later after that, they're going to try to ban all medical marijuana dispensaries, all new ones, in a new restrictive ordinance. And that might be something people might want to talk about. I just wanted to mention that. And then the third thing I heard, I just got a call from someone downtown that said there's a rumor floating around. It's only a rumor that there's going to be some new hasty legislation introduced to affect the drum circle, but I haven't seen that in the agenda, so I can't verify
yes.
that that's true at all.
How are those drummers getting away with that while you guys were so much softer in your music, and yet you will get $445 citations?
Yeah, of course the drummers are also illegal because they're in the parking lot.
Ooh, double illegal.
Yeah, they're not parking their vehicles, and that, in fact, is... It was made a requirement of being in the parking lot. You can't sit in your vehicle and read. You can't chat with a friend. You can walk directly through, or you can park or retrieve your vehicle. That's the only legal basis for being in any of the public parking lots, thanks to Vice Mayor Ryan Coonerty and the city council. Rotkin actually voted against that law, though he did vote for it in favor of the parking garages.
Hey, Robert, I want to hear about your case. Your case of the sinister singing that maybe Ed Fry will help you with.
You know, Robert, during the arrest, you constantly asked her what her probable cause was, and she had no answer for you.
Well, probable cause is kind of a legal term, but I just wanted to know how softly should we sing in
exactly.
order to be legal.
Exactly. You offered to play more quietly, but she would not tell you what that
playing.
Was.
I mean, we weren't playing. I was mainly tabling. This should be understood by people that we were doing essentially a tabling in front of the Bookshop Santa Cruz with petitions. And we were serving food to homeless people. And Coral, you had created a great sign that talked about the names of each homeless person that died last year, which was three times as many as the year before in the county. I think it was 57 names.
Yeah, so I remember we were there to honor them.
Yeah, and we were trying to also, criticize the downtown ordinances and ask if they be changed, and also maybe raise people's awareness of this trial of Anna and Miguel, which actually turned out so amazingly well last Friday.
The good guys won.
What's that?
The good guys won that one for a while.
Yeah, for sure. So we were there as a, we were there as a political protest, and in the course of that, a very small portion of the time was spent, I think, I sang Downtown, which is a song,
mm-hmm.
when you're alone and rents are making you homeless, you can always go. And it's sort of
we're going to put it on Battle of the Bands this week.
Oh, yeah, well, I hope so. It's a great song, particularly with my lyrics. I think they're great lyrics.
So you are the ringleader, then.
Man. But, the people upstairs apparently didn't like the lyrics, at least this one fellow, Sean Riley, who's the fellow who filed the complaint.
I remember I was there. She said she didn't like what you were doing, but she couldn't hear the words.
And that was Riley.
Ian Funk, I think, was
it. Ed, how much credit can you give it a third-party complainer that reports it to the police?
That's the thing the police are hiding behind, and that's what makes it kind of sinister.
She asked Ed, is Ed around?
What's that?
Yeah, I am around.
Okay, Robert, let Ed answer that one.
How much credit can you give a third party complainer?
I didn't say that.
A citizen's arrest without probable cause.
Well, they have to be very clear and honest in their reporting. And if they're dishonest and the cops believe them, then they can be sued afterwards for, false arrest and so on. So, but the police are entitled to rely upon citizen reports in order to issue citations. They certainly can't make it a felony. That has to be committed in their presence,
even a misdemeanor, I believe. But an infraction, I believe.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Is this a way out for the police not to be sued just by having a citizen do it and making them
liable? Well, it does give them a bit of protection, yeah, because they're relying on the word of non-policemen. So that would tend to give them a lot of protection.
Well, you know, I think what happened in our case, what I tried to do was I asked asked a couple questions about the complainant. You know, how long were you listening? How long did you think we were playing? Why did you come down and why didn't you come down and ask us to be more quiet if you didn't like the volume at which we were singing?
That's true.
And
she didn't say a word until the police showed up, and then she started screaming down from that window upstairs. You know, she was causing as much noise as the group was, actually, but she was never cited.
And so, I mean, we wanted, you know, we had a couple of questions, and the answers that were given, the guy said, oh, you were playing for 3 or 4 hours. And
I
said, no, you know, I got here a little after 1, you know, it's now 2:45.
We were all in a meeting two and a half hours earlier.
It was 1:30, it wasn't a little after 1, because that's when we advertised it from 1:30 to 3:30, I believe, is when we were going to be doing it.
Carl got there at 2 o'clock.
So, I mean, he might have felt like that long, but he was... You know, he seemed to be wildly exaggerated in his sense of what was going on. And I think at one point, although this I don't think is on tape, is he said he was trying to sleep or something. I heard that. And so, I this is the middle of the day on a Wednesday with traffic downtown. The idea that people have to be quiet so that somebody in the St. George can sleep upstairs because they don't want to close their window. And that was another issue, whether the window was open or not.
Ed, was this the appropriate ordinance to cite them for? Is the excessive noise ordinance,
unreasonably disturbing noise.
That's another problem that the police are going to have. This is not unreasonable noise. I mean, you guys can all testify, and then there are independent witnesses who can also testify that the volume was not unreasonable.
See, but the real problem here is that even if we win this case in court, which I maybe they won't show up, maybe the witness won't show up, maybe the judge will decide in our favor, though frankly, both these two judges are not very good judges. Baskett, the commissioner, and Simons is pretty horrible, so I don't know. You know, we never can tell what they're going to do. But really what's happening here is that if a person makes a complaint about a musician downtown, the police don't require any kind of justification as to whether it is a valid complaint, one, as far as I know. At least I'm not aware that they do. And then secondly, if the person who's being complained about says, I'll play more quietly, that's not good enough for the police officer. They have this kind of robotic, unless you move along, we're going to advise the citizen, or the citizen will give you an arrest, meaning a citation, unless you move along.
They just want to get rid of the homeless downtown. That's the whole point.
They want to get rid of the musicians
and the musicians,
the homeless downtown.
Yeah.
Or let's put it this way. They want to give special power to complainants who are citizens or merchants or, you know, residents downtown.
Who are pushing their agenda, whereas if you tried to complain against the woman upstairs, it would be ignored, or like you did with the man that filed the complaint for false support.
And that is the other thing that happened in this whole incident. I attempted to make a counter, not just complaint, a counter citation. I wanted to have a citation issued
against
Simon Riley.
Yeah, and you were told to go to the DA.
You know, for making a false police report.
No, Robert, will you make a report on what happened at Michelle's trial on your show Thursday? And then as
are you going to that trial,
Becky's?
Oh, I think I'm going to try to go to the 1:30 trial in Department 10,
okay,
which I encourage other members of the public to go
to.
Yeah,
that's downstairs,
okay, we'll be
next
listening
to the law library.
For that.
In the basement, and also the next day, Friday morning at 10 o'clock, upstairs in Department 1.
That will be the good one, because the police officer's been subpoenaed to show up for that one.
Yes,
and that's
Becky
the one
Johnson
on Fry will be at, correct?
Right, I mean...
All right, and so we'll give someone else a chance to call
in. Yeah, Robert, you have your own show for 3 hours. We're going to give somebody else a shot.
No, wait a minute. I want another hour to talk, if you don't mind. The other thing I just want to say is go to City Council tonight.
Okay, we'll be there.
7 o'clock, oral communication.
Well, we won't be there.
And
for
thank
that
you.
One. We're still
see
in the studio.
What's going on. Speak about this issue there. Thanks.
All right, guys.
Bye.
Okay.
Whoa.
Okay, we wowed together. This is Freak Radio. 101.1 FM. We're having a birthday this year, and we're celebrating Saturday. I don't want to turn off the wrong one. Yeah. So, Ed Price on the line still.
I have a little something I can play from the...
Police Department, right
the man who signed the complaint.
Yeah, Sounds of the Streets in Santa Cruz on January 6th.
There you have it. He moved down there for low rent. I mean, isn't he kind of been compensated for the noise of downtown because of the low rent? Isn't that partly why there's low rent? Because it's noisy downtown. I mean, the traffic's noisy.
Right. I mean, you can't expect people to walk in silence down the Pacific Garden Mall, for God's sake. That's ridiculous.
Like the penguins over by the bus station.
Yeah.
They're
place,
silent.
Yeah, it's a place where the community gathers, you know, and he's got to be expecting that if he's going to live one story up from the mall.
The free speech zone, yeah.
If this person says he's reporting it for his neighbor, is that going to make any impression on the judge? Because how will they know what he's really thinking and what she was really thinking? It just sounds so convoluted.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter who he's reporting for, whether himself or somebody else. As long as the report was inaccurate, that's the important point.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you expect will happen? Because this will be in Judge Simon's court Friday.
Yeah. Well, I don't think, for example, in Michelle's case,
yeah,
I don't think that they'll even show up.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Because, you know, if they've reviewed the matter and they've talked with the complaining witness at all and gotten any kind of a straight answer out of them, which maybe they wouldn't have, then they'll know that they're dealing with a dangerous case here, a potential civil liability case for civil rights violations against the city, even. So they're going to tread lightly unless they have some, you know, special mission against Robert Norris and Becky Johnson.
I think they do, actually. You know, is it true? I've heard that the city attorney, Barsoni, gets additional money. He's not just on salary. For when he goes to these trials, he gets some additional money. Is that true? Do you know?
I don't know. I have no idea what the compensation arrangement is.
Yeah, that's what Robert tells me. But, you know, it would explain why they took that the Nazi salute case all the way up to the Ninth Circuit and spent like $100,000 of the public's money to to not go to trial on it.
And now it's just beginning.
You know? Now the trial just begins. Yeah, another $100,000 or two. You know,
yeah.
The taxpayer dollar. And remember, this isn't Robert spending the money. This is the city attorney spending the money.
Yep. That's city taxes paid for these lawyers and all these their useless prosecutions.
Okay, we'll let you go before you get sued by Barsoni for maligning his reputation.
All right.
Okay, thanks for being on.
And thanks for calling in. And
sure,
if everyone remembers Ed, he's been around free radio a long time. He helped put us into the place under, was it your office or was it?
Yeah, the office.
Yeah.
Yep.
In the 90s.
Righto.
Thanks to Ed. Give Ed a call sometime.
All right. See you folks. Bye-bye.
And bye-bye.
But sing you a song, you'd be unlikely.
Okay.
Free radio here. This is the Free the Land show, part of Tangerine Dream. And we're listening to music that has been selectively put out there so you can kind of get a sense of what's going on in civil rights. What's up next there for your freedom?
Let's see if we can get YouTube to go here.
We'll be
hearing
that right now.
Of this thing that's called the state. What is the state? The state is this organized bureaucracy. It is the police department. It is the army, the navy. It is the prison system, the courts, and what have you. This is the state. It is a repressive organization. But the state, and well, you know, you've got to have the police, because if there were no police, look at what you'd be doing to yourselves. You'd be killing each other if there were no police. But the reality is, the police become necessary in human society.
precinct, you know how we think. Organize the hood under our chain banners. Red, black, and green instead of gang bandanas. FBI spying on us through the radio antennas. And I'm hitting cameras in the streetlight watching society. With no respect for the people's right to privacy. I take a slug for the cause like Huey P. While all you fake niggas try to copy Master P. I wanna be free to live, able to have what I need to live. Bring the power back to the street where the people live. We sick of working for crumbs and filling up the prisons. Dying over money and relying on religion for help. We do for self like ants in a colony. Organize the wealth into a socialist economy. A way of life based off the common needs. And all my comrades is ready, we just spreading the seed.
The average black man live a third of his life in a jail cell. Cause the world is controlled by the white male. And the people don't never get justice. And the women don't never get respected. And the problems don't never get solved. And the jobs don't never pay enough. So the rent always be late. Can you relate?
No more bondage, no more political monsters, no more secret space launches. Government departments started it in the projects. Material objects, thousands up in the closets. Could have been invested in the future for my comrades. Battle contacts, primitive weapons out in combat. Many never come back, pretty niggas be running with gas. Rather get shot in their back than fire back. We're tired of that, corporations hiring blacks. Denying the fact, exploiting us all over the map. That's why I write the shit I write in my raps. It's documented, I meant it. Every day of the week, I live in it, breathe in it. It's more than just fucking believing it. I'm holding in ones, rolling up my sleeves and shit. It's C-Lo for push-ups now, many headed for one conclusion. Niggas ain't ready for revolution.
The average black male, live a third of his life in a jail cell. Cause the world is controlled by the white male. And the people don't never get justice. And the women don't never get respected. And the problems don't never get solved. And the jobs don't never pay enough. So the rent always be late. Can you relate? We living in a police state.
I used to play there a lot years ago, and they would cite me for disturbing the peace, and then it would never make it into court because the DA would always end up not filing charges on it, so get thrown out of court. And I guess they got tired of it. And this one sergeant, female, she had red hair. What was her name? I think she's still around. McMahon. She's the one that found that unreasonable noise code and then started charging me with that. And so then I had to go and fight it, and, you know, the DA wouldn't throw out anymore. So
Did you successfully beat these unreasonably disturbing noise citations?
No, I didn't. I only beat, like, one. It was more of a technicality thing. But, yeah, I ended up fighting them all in court. So it was like 7 or 8 citations. So I had 7 or 8 police officers in court and Alibaba, and you know, you throw yourself at the mercy of the court if you don't know how to fight, you know.
You had no lawyer helping you.
I had no lawyer. It was just me.
There we heard from Skidmark Bob, who was arrested on a similar, or cited for the similar violations of the noise code. And now we have another song.
FM.
Yeah, there was one time where they tried to charge me with terrorist threats for singing on the mall. That didn't fly over as well with the DA as all. So, yeah, there was one time where they tried to charge me with terrorist threats for singing on the mall. That didn't fly over as well with the DA as all. So, yeah, there was one time where they tried to charge me with terrorist threats for singing on the mall. That didn't fly over as well with the DA as all. So, yeah, there was one time where they tried to charge me a terrorist threat.
So I hope you all will come to the Kawumba this Saturday night. It's starting at 6. You can get in and
dressed like a pirate. You know, it's 15 years you've been on the air, free and clear. With a few interruptions, a few times to try to take the equipment. Okay, we got another one now.
That did fly over as well.
Yeah, there was one guy that was trying to charge me.
Sweden shore, looking for some work.